Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, this is right here where we are, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right. Time to bring on the two people who help make this show successful. They provide all kinds of input. You got Butters right now on the board. Hey, Butters, you ready to roll, man?
I am.
You think? All right. Well, then tell you what. The other one calling in from the great municipality of Huntsville would be one we know as Lee from Huntsville. Lee, what are you doing? Are you building something right now? It's like you're hammering. Are you walking on a treadmill while you're talking to us?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Was it loud?
No, it just sounded like you're putting together an IKEA bookshelf or something. I didn't know what was happening.
No. Sorry. I was just walking on the wood floor, but apparently I was just making a little too much noise.
Oh, you had your angry shoes on. Okay. Yeah. All right. We got Butters and Lee. Hit it. All right. I'm going to ask you guys both a question. The way we work this thing for the audience's benefit is Butters and Lee, they've got input, they got thoughts, they got opinions, and so I sling questions at them, and then they come back with their own thoughts, and then they sling questions at me. So RFK Jr., Butters has been in here with me, we've been talking about it a bit. RFK Jr., he just dropped out of his race, he endorsed Trump, and he's taking his name off the ballot in at least the battleground states, if not more. Does it matter? Are there still people out there who are undecided that would be impacted by this? Lee, you first.
I think it does matter. He was a significant third-party candidate. He wasn't a nobody, or he wasn't someone that wasn't going to make any type of, dent in any races. So, yes, I think it's significant. And I think it shows that the Democrats are so far left, even RFK can't get with them, he just can't make it work. And he's willing to bow out of his own race in order to ensure they don't get power.
Yeah.
But, yes, I think it's significant.
Okay. Well, so let me ask you this, though. The second part of that question was, are there still people out there who are undecided at this point in the race? Are there still undecideds that are impacted by this?
Well, I mean, there must be, but I don't know what they're waiting for. I think there are, but I think it's more just economy-based, and they're waiting to see how things are going to turn from now until November. Hmm. You know, and shocker, it's not going to get better.
No.
So I think that the undecided, in my opinion, may veer a little bit more towards Trump.
I think you're right. And by the way, shocker, the Fed decided today that it will be lowering the rate, just so you know.
No surprise.
All right, Butterman, what do you think? RFK Jr., does it matter?
I think it matters a great deal.
Oh, yeah?
I think he's a huge representative of actually a lot of people out there that are they just want to have some discussions about some sane things, about issues, whether we agree or not. And I think he has done a pretty good job of representing what we all think this country should be. Okay, we got differing opinions. We can talk about them without being idiots. And I think he's done a lot of that. I think he also highlights how there's a lot of people that don't give two flips about mainstream media anymore, and he has just highlighted how bad things are, how broken and corrupt perhaps the whole system, but certainly the Democrat side of things.
And let's make no bones about it. He's not a conservative per
se. Not at all.
No.
Not at all. But I think he's at least willing to have – I mean, like the whole fact – I mean, if you've ever listened to the – to his discussions about and issues with the vaccines.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I mean,
man's a policy warrior when it comes to that stuff.
And I think it absolutely matters. I think he's represented a voice of a lot of people that are like, well, I'm not like, I don't want to, like, everybody's crazy. Like, why is this so difficult? I think it's going to.
And there's going to be those who say that, you know, oh, we're watering down our side by taking in people that used to be Democrats or whatever else. Let me say, I'll tell you this. When I used to work in full-time ministry, I remember hearing one time that General William Booth, who started the Salvation Army, that he used to say, I'll take a dollar from the devil if I can use it for the Lord's work. So if a Democrat wants to vote for Trump, I'll take it because it puts us in a better position than keeping Kamala Harris in office.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're living in a world where people consider Bill Maher a conservative.
Woo!
Yeah,
come on.
I mean, like, it's
what's
it's,
happening.
It's kind of, so, yeah, I think it's going to be a big impact.
Okay. All right. Before I leave that, by the way, Butters and Lee, both of you, I just saw a quote from the speech we watched earlier of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He said, quote, the DNC and its media organs engineered a surge of popularity for VP Harris based upon nothing. No policies, no interviews, no debates, smoke and mirrors. That's
100%.
All right.
It's wag the dog.
Yeah, it is. Okay. All right. We're all in agreement on that one. Next question. The EV market. Here we go. The EV market. All indications are the EV market is now in a setback. We're energy independent. Military recruiting is down. Crime is up. Let me ask you this. Trying to remain as objective as possible, and we are, by the way, we are a conservative opinion show. I make no bones about it. But trying to remain as objective as possible, is there anything that conservatives can agree that Democrats did well for the last 3 years? Anything. Anything at all. Butters, you first. Boy, I'm putting you on the spot. Get a drum roll.
Gave us a lot of really good Babylon Bee memes. I genuinely, that is the first thing that comes to my mind.
Made the Babylon Bee rich.
Yeah, can you come back to me? Well, I need to keep looking at the menu. I don't know. Everything it's so hard because everything is so twisted, even in the way they, oh, well, they forgave student loans. Right. That wrecked, like, I don't know. What good have they?
Okay.
I'm drawing a blank. I mean, I hate it. I genuinely am. I'm trying to be objective.
Lee, even though I know you, I know your personality, I know where you stand on the issues, being as objective as possible. Is there anything, Lee, that we can say the Democrats did right in the last 3 years?
Did right or did well?
Well, either one.
Did well. They sure did, push to kill a lot of babies. They're real good at that. And apparently some vasectomies going on up there, which I have no problem with. Please snip away, guys. And that means you're not reproducing. But I think travel agents, they're great at moving all the hordes of people coming into our country all over the place. They're pretty good at that.
Wow. Okay, so what you're basically saying is you interpret the question to say they did a lot of things wrong very well.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
They are really good at doing things wrong. They are experts at doing things wrong. Okay, I got you.
So
what?
So
what you got?
Pray tell, what did you have in mind?
What? I think if I had to look at it objectively, I'd say that the vast preponderance of what they did was give a whole lot of fodder to conservative talk show hosts like me. They drove my audience forward is what they did. My text lines blow up daily because of what they did. And I'll be honest with you, I'm looking forward to Trump getting elected and me talking about how we don't want them to ever come back. That's what I'm looking forward to now. But right now, I will say this. For the last 3 years, I have had a lot to talk about. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, I know one thing.
Yes. What? Pray tell. Lee, what have you got?
They did it well. They drove, especially black men, away from their party really well.
So right now Democrats are hating this conversation because we're wearing them out. But I'm trying to be objective, but I can't find anything because in all candor, prices are up, military recruiting is down. They tried to gerrymander the EV market; it hasn't worked. Our foreign policy is not going well. There are hot wars that have popped up that weren't there before.
And on the world stage, I think that we've taken a hit. Our trade is down. And I just look at it and think, I'm trying to figure out, of the pillars of commerce and the pillars of governance, what did they do that literally has an improved metric besides just spending money? Just saying.
Yeah, I think they've highlighted just how bad things have gotten. But again, that's not a really actually a good thing. I'd love for somebody to text in something, some idea. Right. I mean, help us out here.
Yeah, Mike from Athens has sent us one. He says, Democrats did a great job of screwing everything up. Okay, so there's that. All right, well, listen, I tell you what, let's go ahead and call that round one of Butters and Lee. Butters, you go start moving us toward the break. We'll come back, and this is where we flip the script. And I don't know what they're going to ask me, but I just have to do the best I can because they ask me questions next time around. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Oh, man, I'm telling you. Just back with round number two of the Butters and the Lee. So this is the part where we flip the script, and they go ahead and basically start pinging me with questions, and I just wait to see what they got. So I tell you what, I'll go with ladies first here. Lee, what have you got for me?
Well, I want to know what you thought overall of the Democrat speeches that we have seen over the week and the theme. And did you get kind of the overall feel of who's important by those speeches?
Well, we know who wasn't important. I mean, day one, the opening, they've got the sitting president of the United States, who they just tried to tell us for so long was just, he's sharp as a tack. He's on the money. He's got a vigor we can't even keep up with him. He just runs circles around the rest of his staff. Shut up. Anyway, the reality is they got him in there first night so they could get rid of him. And then, oh, by the way, they even bumped him back into the latter part. Like, they missed primetime. They got off schedule, and the most disrespectful thing I've seen to the office of the president in modern history is literally putting him to have to speak after midnight when no one is watching it. That was awful. Now
they literally hit him.
Yes, they did. They did. They put him in the memory hole. I mean, he was gone. He's already done. He's cooked. But the rest of the, I mean, you can look and see who's important. Yeah, you can see where the speeches were being made by the former Democrat rock stars. You've got people coming in there like Hillary. You've got the Obamas, both of them. You got interesting dynamic there. You've got not just Tim Walz on Thursday night or Wednesday night, but you also had, what's her name? That's Oprah Winfrey, who, funny enough, as soon as she spoke, this was planned. The Trump campaign came out with a letter that she had sent him 20 years ago suggesting they should have run for president together.
Nice.
I mean, was that not the best ever?
That was like trolling 101 right there, man. That was huge.
Yeah.
But you know what I saw, though? The word they kept using was the vibes. How about a little policy? Could you tell us not just, I'll be there for you. It'll be awesome. Aren't you happy?
Right.
And they're still on the sugar rush of not having Uncle Joe on the ticket. And so they're content to not even bother having a single policy issue.
I didn't really fully believe. I went just earlier to her website.
To her website, yeah.
There's not a
policy on there.
There's a bajillion things of how to donate.
Yep, there is. And I'll tell you what's funny is the Trump administration decided to help her out. They came out with a Kamala's policy website. It is. I've got it on my Twitter feed right now, as a matter of fact. It's pretty daggum funny. It's all the things that she does stand for.
Do you think she and Oprah kind of sound similar? I do.
I think she tried to mimic her hero, Obama. Yeah, I really do. I think she tried.
But I'm saying, I mean, like when she tries to be profound, which is always a giant failure, but she tries to sound like Oprah.
I think that's actually an insult to Oprah.
All right, before we run out of time, I better jump over here and see what kind of question Butters has got for me. What do you got, man?
Well, speaking of policies.
Okay.
Taxes. So,
oh, Lord.
So, you know, we can get into the weeds of the complexities. We talk about capital gains tax and particularly the idea that's being proposed of unrealized capital gains. Thoughts how bad an idea is this?
So I will speak to this in general terms because the fact that I am an attorney means that I don't give tax advice because I'm not a CPA. But I'll just tell you this. The only sure things they talk about in life are death and taxes, right? Except when Democrats are involved. Then they'll tax you on what you don't have yet. And that's unrealized capital gains. So if you want to suppress innovation and suppress entrepreneurship and suppress commerce, then what you do is you increase capital gains because you're basically saying if you dare make a profit and you sell it for more because of all your hard work, we're going to get you. But now what she's saying is she wants to also tax unrealized capital gains, meaning you went up in value. Well, I haven't sold it yet. Yeah, but you went up in value. And we have to sit back and go, wait a minute, stroke my chin, think about it for a second. Who's the one determining the tax base value on unrealized gain? That would be the same government that wants the money. So, yeah, this is literally what they call an economy killer. And I don't know why they don't see
that. They'll drive away people. Drive people away.
It will.
All these 1,000 billionaires, they'll drive them away.
You'll start finding all kinds of ways for people to offshore things, and it's gonna be yeah, exactly.
So, and I mean, who out there is a little angry that their property taxes just happened to jump up? Somebody bumped the value of your house and property tax. Well,
yeah.
Guess what happens with unrealized capital gains?
That's exactly
or could happen
same.
Is
yeah.
Well, they just arbitrarily increase the value of your house, and that affects everybody, not just the wealthy.
How dare you have value in your life? I mean, you know, when you fill out your loan applications or whatever else, you have to give them your net worth, right? Well, isn't it a great thing when you've actually increased in net worth, except that the government finds out about it and they tax you not on what you have, but on what you've been building? I mean, if you sell the company, cut the capital gains and make it something you really tried to achieve. But no, they're going to get you when you sell the company or sell the house or whatever. The amazing thing to me, though, is that they think this is a great idea, this reality check, this needs to happen, that they're going to tax you on what you've not even realized yet. That's like saying the money's not in the bank, but we still want a part of it.
And that's
because they know most of their base doesn't understand this. 50% of Americans don't really pay taxes effectively and won't be affected by this. And they believe that they can say this sort of like stick it to the rich. But what they don't understand is the rich owns the businesses that you work at.
That's exactly right. And they're not paying their fair share. That's the thing I always hear.
Yeah, and it's a good story to tell, like, oh, Elon Musk doesn't actually take a salary and his value, you know, all this kind of stuff. That's a real easy story to tell. But number one, people with wealth aren't going to get screwed. They can afford to not. So the idea that that's going to fix whatever issue, whether it's real or not, is just laughable. But, you know, like, It can reach down pretty far with that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know, like you go to sell a house.
Those 84,000 new IRS agents are not going to be working on the billionaires.
And you know, what happens when, okay, great. You may not be able to sell your house and roll all that money into another house right now, but this is a slope that they go, we're going to tax that too.
Yeah.
You know, now we want to, like, it's silliness. It's absolute, and it's, I
can't
understand it.
Lee, before we go, how's your boy doing? Everything good on the recovery?
Going well. Putting weight on it. Doing good.
All right. Tell him to rub some dirt on it. Walk it off.
I will.
All right. Lee from Huntsville, we love you. Thank you so much. We appreciate it very much. And, of course, Butters, you're hanging with me for the next hour because we allowed Big Rig to actually have a day off. Funny how that works.
Unbelievable.
I'm getting soft, man. See ya. See ya, Lee. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be back, and we will be right.
all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.